Saga Egmont presents Love in Old Age, written by Hunter Davies and read by Jonathan Keeble. Chapter 1. The Madness of Old Age. I don't know why we went to the Isle of Wight. It began out of the blue, and the sequence of events has grown cloudy already, our motives and desires and fantasies still confused. It just seemed to happen, as if an unseen hand was leading us. We suddenly found ourselves besotted by the island, and a particular house, and yet until that moment we had never ever thought about the Isle of Wight, far less about moving there. Neither of us had any real connection with the place. Claire had been there once, aged 5. She went with her mother and brother to a school camp for kids in Shanklin, she thinks, and absolutely adored it. But since then, she has never been back. I went there last in 1966, my only visit. I was writing the Atticus column in the Sunday Times and interviewed the governor of Parkhurst Prison, the maximum security jail in the middle of the island. It was in the news at the time, as some of the great train robbers had been there. A prison was not really the sort of topic which normally concerned the column. Atticus was a long-established diary feature, rather old-fashioned when I joined as the boy assistant in 1960. We usually covered eminent people, such as who will be the next Archbishop of Canterbury, or our ambassador to Washington, as if I cared. When I took over the column in 1964, I changed it, preferring to interview people I was personally interested in, such as gritty northern novelists, footballers like George Best, and pop stars like the Beatles. I was amazed when the Home Office agreed to my request to visit Parkhurst, or at least for the governor to appear in a diary column. I think I'd seen a reference to the governor somewhere, and he'd sounded interesting. I went across on the ferry with a Sunday Times photographer, Kelvin Brody, known as Steve, for some reason. I have no memory of going on the ferry or how we got to the prison, but months later in the office, Steve gave me a photo he had taken on board, unbeknown to me. I am sitting on the wooden deck, lost in thought, looking very young, I'd just turned 30, and also nervous and a bit moany. In the background, out at sea, you can see one of the famous Palmerston forts, which can immediately be identified by anyone who knows anything about the Isle of Wight. The interview went okay. It was quite jolly, or I made it jolly, but I have little memory of the governor himself, except that he was amusing. He told me a story about when he was governor of Dover Prison. He was out on his scooter one day, about a mile from the prison, when he saw a man he recognised. "What are you doing here?" he asked. "Coming back with you, sir," the man replied. He was, of course, an escaped prisoner. He hopped on the back of the governor's scooter, and together they rode back to the prison. I can't remember anything about the inside of Parkhurst. It was just another story, and the governor, one of 3 or 4 people I interviewed each week, almost all of them long faded from my mind. In 1966 I had other things to get excited about, such as the World Cup and my first meeting with the Beatles. It was when Claire happened to suggest going to the Isle of Wight for a couple of days that I remembered that ancient photo of me on the ferry looking dopey, and I managed to dig it out. I could not recognise myself. This was in July 2020, during the relaxation of restrictions that followed the first coronavirus pandemic lockdown, when we all thought things would now get back to normal. What foolish optimists we were. Claire and I had been going out together for 3 years, and had reached the stage of considering living together. Then we decided against it. I could not live in her house in Battersea, South London. It was too clean and white and immaculate for me. I would be scared to sit down. And she could not live in my battered Victorian house near Hampstead Heath, North London. Too scruffy. It would upset her. She'd always be itching to change it all. So we continued to live alone, each in our house, though meeting all the time and going on lots of holidays together. Then, 18 months ago, I had this really daft idea. If I could not bear to move into her house, or she into mine, what if we started off afresh, in a completely new house, buy something new to both of us? I would let Claire do all the refurbishing, decor and design. She would love that. Keep her happy and occupied.